It's recording now.
All right. Hey, y'all. It's Sandy.
Kadesha.
And Samantha.
And we are back with another dope episode on the Deeper Than Tech podcast, where we talk about how to progress in your career in an industry that was not designed with us in mind. And coming up, we are here talking about virtual networking and conferences. With everyone working from home and there aren't many jobs that you're interviewing for, like in person, we want to just talk about how you can snatch up your job virtually like a boss. So let's get to it. But before we get to all the fun, make sure if you enjoy our podcast, you share it with a friend or a coworker. Alrighty. So, ladies, as we are about to talk about conferences and networking and, you know, big game-changing things, I know we actually, like, mentioned in our previous episodes, like, how we broke into tech, but I think we should pinpoint exactly how networking, really networking via social media, right, how it really helped us jumpstart our career in tech. So we can start with Samantha. Can you share a little bit about how networking via different social media platforms actually helped you land your job or immerse your learning in tech?
Of course I can. So they say it's not about what you know, but who you know. Mm. So it's super important that you make sure that you network yourself out there. So I got my job going through a conference. I went there. I knew somebody who went to the same school that I went to. They introduced me to somebody else who had a job, and that's how I got my job. They gave me their Twitter information. They didn't have a job for me right then and there when I talked to them. It was about 3 or 4 months afterwards when they actually reached out to me again and be like, hey, I have a job. Are you interested in coming? So just because you meet somebody doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have a job for you right then and there, but you should still keep their contact information, keep networking with them. Like, I follow them on Twitter, and I would actually mm-hmm. engage with them a lot, and they actually
nice.
Reached out to me again on Twitter when they saw me engaging in different things. So just because somebody doesn't have a job for you right then, don't just dismiss them. I personally would not even go up to somebody and tell them, hey, I'm looking for a job. I actually would just try to get to know them and then get their contact information.
Yep.
And then maybe later on, reach out to them and be like, hey, it was a great conversation with you. I think we really vibed together. I was wondering if you have any jobs open or if, like, you went on their website from their company and you could be like, hey, I saw that you guys had an open position. Do you mind referring me? Stuff like that would be my way of getting a job in tech.
100%. I definitely think when you're looking for a job and you're networking with people and they don't have one for you right away, I definitely think you should not burn that bridge, because you should still use that connection as an avenue towards getting your career in tech, because you never know what other opportunities might open up later on down the line. So definitely just keep that connection strong, and you never know what can come out of that. And I love how you mentioned Twitter, because mm-hmm. I never really thought Twitter could be a platform where you can, you know, make your mark in tech.
Yep. Like,
the way I landed my job was through a conference, but that was an in-person conference. So, and I'll talk about that later on. But you just mentioning Twitter, I just didn't know you could utilize that platform. So I think that's really huge, like a game-changing medium and advice.
Honestly,
yeah, I love Twitter.
Honestly, if you are a software engineer or you want to be a software engineer and you do not have a Twitter, you're actually hurting your chances of getting a job. Mm-hmm. Let's say that it's you against another candidate, and that candidate has a Twitter presence. The company is going to choose the one with the Twitter presence over you, just because they can use that to market their company. So Twitter, I would say, is an easy platform to get started. If you're not sure, you can just start retweeting other people's stuff. You can start putting your random thoughts on Twitter. It's not a hard platform mm-hmm. to get to know people on, so do it.
I agree with that. I feel like everybody who's anybody in tech is on Twitter, and I get to peek into so many different conversations via Twitter threads, or see how someone talks about a certain topic, see what companies are doing And how people respond to different companies. So many companies have been called out on Twitter for different terrible practices that they have. I think Twitter is definitely a must-have for developers. When I was learning, I used Twitter every day, and I got help from Twitter from developers in the community that just wanted to help because they can.
Wow.
So Twitter is definitely great for networking, and people typically post jobs on Twitter to say, "Hey, my company's hiring. If you want a referral, let me know." But yeah, so yeah, Twitter is top notch.
So I'm also hearing that it's a huge, like, supportive community that you can,
Oh
be a
yeah.
part of when you're on Twitter.
Absolutely.
In our last episode, we talked about mock interviews. I actually would get a lot of mock interviews off of Twitter. People were like, "Hey, I'm doing some mock interviews. I have a few hours." And you could just like DM them and be like, "Yeah, I would love to be mocked interview." And then you could talk to like really
That's
like strong people in
true.
the industry, and they're just like offering up their time for free. And it's like just a great community to be in.
I agree. I've seen those too, Samantha, and even like giveaways for like mentorship programs or career coaching programs. People would be
Are
like,
y'all
"Hey,"
hearing this?
people would be
Twitter's the
like,
plug.
"Hey, I want to buy 5 people mentorship to my career coach. Why do you want a career coach?" And they'll buy the membership for you, and you get free career coaching. Twitter is awesome.
So if you're not logging into Twitter right now and signing up, what are you doing?
Yeah, look it up. Use those hashtags. Get your tweet noticed because there are people out there looking and ready to help you. And that's one of the ongoing things that I just love about the tech industry. Another thing, another platform or aspect of networking that I also wanted to highlight was conferences. We did mention that we got our jobs there. I wanted to talk about, like, when you hear about conferences, it kind of can go in one ear out the other. How did you guys approach conferences? Like, how did you pick a conference to go to? And then how did you even go about, like, cost of attending?
I know for me specifically, I learned about the Grace Hopper conference on Twitter. I saw someone retweet something about the Grace Hopper conference, and I was just like, "What's that?" And then I saw that they had a scholarship for Black women in technology, and I was just like, "I'm Black." And so I applied for the scholarship, and that's how I was able to go to the conference. And thankfully, I did get the scholarship because if I didn't, I would not be able to pay it. What was it, like over $1,000 or
Over a
something?
thousand dollars, yeah.
What? For a conference?
I
No,
know.
I would not be able to pay for that. So I'm so grateful that they have scholarships, and a lot of conferences I think have scholarships, like different levels of scholarships for different type of people. So definitely get on Twitter if you haven't gotten that message from now.
100% on that. Like, when I went to the same conference as Kadesha, and that was the Grace Hopper conference, a wonderful experience. But I actually heard about, I was very proactive in my search in the tech industry for a job. So I attended lots of meetups, and I was at one specific meetup, and I met this woman, another Black woman in tech, just making strides, and she works at Microsoft. I said, "How did you get your job?" She said, "Oh, I landed my job at the Grace Hopper conference." And she was like, "If you look at the price, you might not want to do it, but trust, like," she's like, "understand that they have scholarships, and it will pay for your whole ride there. It'll pay for your food, your travel, your ticket. All you have to do is just apply." And the process was like, what, 2 paragraphs?
Yeah, it was pretty simple.
It's pretty simple. So I did it. And what I loved about Grace Hoppers is that I think in the past they only had like scholarships for computer science students, but they actually opened up pathways for boot camp grads. Game changer. I said, say less. Say less. I filled out that application process. I received the scholarship to attend Grace Hopper conference, which is valued at $1,000. And I actually got like a $400 or $500 stipend to just spend there. A beautiful hotel. I was sold. And all I had to do when I got to that conference was just land a job. So I actually had like 10 interviews, and then ended up getting two offers and, going with one company. Yeah, I was taking advantage. Grace Hopper's is one of the largest conferences for women, and they are known. That's another thing I want to highlight for on this episode. They are like conferences like Grace Hopper, they're known for hiring people on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that's talked about oftentimes. I don't know why, but conferences like Grace Hopper's, we're not writing that down, write it down now.
Yeah.
Like they're known for hiring women on the spot. There are like over 250 companies that attend, and you can even see CEOs. The CEO of Twitter has been at Grace Hopper's conference before. So it's definitely something you should have in your back pocket. You should be looking at researching Grace Hopper's conference. Another one is Code Newbies. There's mm-hmm. Code Newbies conference. There is there's one more. It's slipping my tongue.
Afrotech?
I'll have it definitely before. It's Afrotech. Oh, you had it. There's Afrotech. So I just want to really highlight the importance of these conferences, just because if you're a minority, these conferences definitely help you land that role in tech and get you jumpstarted in your career.
And I'll interject and say, like, Code Newbie also, not only are they a conference, they're an entire platform for new developers. So one of a great way to network is to join their Code Newbie Twitter chats on Wednesday evenings. You get to meet so many people that are learning how to code, people that have been in the industry for a while, and that's a great way to meet people and get hired and get exposure.
See, Twitter keeps on just coming back into the conversation. I hope you guys are making your Twitter account, because you're trying to get that job in tech. It seems like you need that Twitter. You need that Twitter. I wish I took more advantage of Twitter. Another platform I actually want to introduce is LinkedIn. Does anyone have any experience with LinkedIn, or how networking with recruiters really helped them in their career?
So for me, I use LinkedIn trying to break into tech. A lot of recruiters will reach out, but me personally, I don't think recruiters are looking for entry-level developers, just because they can't make money off of you as much as they could make off a senior. So I wasted a lot of time with recruiters versus spending that effort and time into, I guess, networking. But LinkedIn, I feel like you need to have at least 500 connections. That's what my coding bootcamp told me, get 500 connections. Don't know why, but
interesting.
It's a numbers game.
That's what they told me too. Yeah. That's what they told me.
I wasn't told that.
And I did it. I was just like, okay, bet. Okay.
Yeah, bet. I can add people. No problem.
Right? I feel like LinkedIn is annoying, honestly, for me. I get all these weird notifications, and I'm just like, this has nothing to do with me, LinkedIn. Like, why are you telling me that it's this person's birthday?
What?
How
they're doing that now?
Does that benefit my career? Crazy. Yeah. Like, it's this person's birthday. Say happy birthday.
That's for Facebook,
y'all. Or, like,
y'all.
This person shared this post. You should do something. I'm just like, LinkedIn. No. I find LinkedIn annoying, but I agree with Samantha. I really don't think recruiters are looking for junior talent on LinkedIn. But once you get that first yes, apparently it's a lot easier to get other jobs. So
it's 100% easier to get another job.
So just keep going until you can get a job, but get on Twitter.
I definitely feel like if you are attending a conference, though, you definitely should post about it on LinkedIn. When I did it, a lot of recruiters reached out to me. So if you're attending a meetup, if you're attending a conference, any networking event, really, just make sure to post about it on Twitter or post about it on LinkedIn, because recruiters will actually DM you.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to my next question. Is having a tech blog helpful in networking and getting hired?
That's a good question.
Samantha or Kadesha, do you have any thoughts on that?
This is a great, great question. I would say it's better to have than not to have. But should you stress yourself out about it? I don't think you should. I think you should focus on building your coding skills as much as possible, because I think you're okay with not having a blog. Just having a Twitter presence will probably get you a lot further. And then after you get your job, then if you are interested in making a technical blog, go ahead. Some people use a blog just to help them remember stuff in the past. That's helpful, but would it be leverage? I don't think so.
I think having a I look at it a different way. So I know like for the code newbie community, they're now part of the dev community. And the dev community, they have a blog where you can create your own stuff, and it's a great way to network and meet other people in the field. Because when you write something, people comment on it typically and offer helpful advice, and that can be taken to like an off the scene conversation. I think tech blogs also help to show or demonstrate the skills you have. It's also a great way to retain the skills you've learned. So I think it's helpful. It's not necessary, and like don't stress yourself out about it, but it doesn't hurt, I don't think.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like that goes hand in hand with like personal branding, and while it's a good to have, it's definitely not a necessity when you're starting out. More things like I feel like I if I when if I could go back in time, what I do is like code and push up my projects or my learnings on GitHub. Like if there's anything I'd want to do personal branding on, maybe not write like Medium articles, but I'd focus on like keeping my GitHub profile active. And just like even if you're doing like data structures, we talked about that briefly in our previous episode. Unhelpful tip is like if you're doing data structures, post up your solutions on GitHub. Like little things just so that you're making everyday progress. It's just helpful to document that on GitHub. Shameless plug. So we talked about networking. We talked about the importance of conferences. We talked about the importance of these social media platforms. I really just wanted to re-emphasize, right? Like, as a woman in tech, as a black woman in tech, it's very essential to right know your technical skills, know your soft skills, but know how to network and know the platforms and the mediums that will help you get from point A to point B. So if there's nothing you've taken from this podcast, which that shouldn't be the case, I really want to stress the importance of being active on Twitter because it just helps you get further in your career. And consider doing conferences. It can be expensive, but definitely if you are a minority, there are so many programs, there are so many avenues that are being put in place to help lessen that burden of you getting to that conference. And
Absolutely.
when you get to that conference, like your chances of getting a job, I want to say increased by like 60, 70, 70%. I will look up the statistics, but I'm pretty sure it is that accurate. So definitely put conferences in your arsenal.
I would like to say that I am a conference hoarder. I almost said a bad word. Hoarder. And I, sorry, 1 second, y'all. And I have never ever paid for a conference in my whole entire life. I've been flown out to places. There's just so many things in place
Live your life.
for people want you to attend these conferences, and they'll figure out a way for
That's
you to
true.
get there. People also, my first conference I did get a scholarship to Facebook conference. They only did pay for my they only paid for my hotel, but I needed a plane flight. But I didn't have no money. So I went on Twitter as well, and I did a GoFundMe page, and people like helped flew me out to conferences. So there's so many different ways to not have to pay for it
Amazing.
if your job isn't going to do that for you. And if you can't attend the conference is still going to be, most likely, the videos are going to be posted online, so you can definitely see that. But for me, when I do attend a conference, I am not there for actually the talks. And my job will hate me for that. I'm actually there to meet other people. I'm actually in the
I
hallway
love that.
chit-chatting with people because I can watch the talks afterwards. So, yes. If you need more tips on conferences, please feel free to hit any of us up on our DMs. Hit us up on our Instagram, Deeper Than Tech Podcast, and we will help you figure out how to get some conferences. What do
Yep.
y'all think about virtual
Conferences are great.
conferences? We didn't touch on that.
I think they're I don't know. I've never been to one. I feel like it's not the same. 'Cause you know when you're at a conference in person, you have room to breathe and room to look away. I feel like in a virtual setting, if you're meeting a recruiter, for example, you have to just like look on the screen and there's no room to like take a pause or to take a breath. For me, it feels awkward. But in terms of like the presentations and stuff, that's regular stuff. I watch videos all the time. But yeah, I don't know. It feels a little awkward to me.
I feel like virtual conferences are overwhelming. I did attend like Grace Hopper, as I said before. I love Grace Hopper's conference. They were virtual last year, but it was very overwhelming because they had like a lot of sessions, and you know, like they just recorded it and you watched it. You watched it when it was available, but you I don't know. You can get overwhelmed with seeing like 40 recordings, and now and you know you want to watch all of them, but you don't. You just don't have the time to just retain or make time to watch all of these courses. So I feel like that aspect was just overwhelming. And sometimes they had like different rooms where you can network with other recruiters or other people from different companies, and they didn't account for how many people would be online wanting to go inside that same room. Mm. So oftentimes the network was down. Mm. So if the talk starts at 2:30 or that room session starts at 2:30, you weren't there at 2:29, you missed out. Wow. That was something that annoyed me. They had like chatbot sessions, how to build your own chatbot, how to talk about real time data. They had those interesting topic sessions, but you could not get in because you weren't there at a specific time.
Wow.
You couldn't have access to the room. It was filled or the network was down. So virtual conferences was definitely overwhelming. I still do think there was opportunity because I read articles and I heard success stories of people getting hired. I definitely do think anywhere you can take advantage of an opportunity, but just plan, just prepare like with your end goal in mind. Do you want to learn more about the latest industry trends, or do you want to get a job?
Yep.
That can kind of help you navigate how you go about the conference. And also another tip I want to say is that when you are attending a conference and you, let's say you want to go to a FAANG company, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, one of those, I don't think you should schedule your Facebook interview first. I think you should go to other booths. This is just my strategy. I'd go to companies that I'm less interested in. I'd schedule that session first, and then the one that I'm really interested in would be last. I save the best for last because I feel like I'll just be more comfortable by that last interview as opposed to giving it all in that first interview, because I tend to just be nervous, and I think a lot of us tend to be nervous. But I feel like if you use those first interviews as practice, by the time you get to that important one, you're solid, you're confident, you're ready to give it your all. So just a cute little networking hack for you guys.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, is there anything we would like to add?
No, get out there and start networking, because like I said, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Who you know.
To get a job.
Who you know.
And get on Twitter. Get on Twitter. It's just type something and post it.
Just do it. Just do it. What's the worst that can happen? You get a job. I guess that's the best thing that can happen. But you know what I mean. Like there's nothing bad about putting yourself out there. It's only up. So definitely just make the post. Put yourself out there. All right. Thank you. And catch us next time on Deeper Than Tech. We will be talking about... Shoot. I don't know what we're talking about.
You got the job. Now what?
You got
we'll
the
be
job
talking about now. You got the job now what? All right, let me say that one more time because we can edit that out. Okay. All right, catch us next time on Deeper Than Tech Podcast. We'll be talking about You Got the Job Now What.
Bye, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Oh, no, funny.